Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are a tiny toad in a vast cavern trapped on top of a huge pillar of ice. And we have no idea how we got there, and we strongly suspect none of this is actually happening at all, because it's whispered madness. And I'm probably utterly insane by now. You're standing in a massive cavern atop a snow-capped column that rises out of the icy, raging sea far below. Oh! Alright, okay. So if I fall, rather than plummeting and, you know, splatting, I drown instead, and freeze, if any of this is actually happening. But I believe I'm drowning and freezing, and that's probably enough to make it real somehow. Dilapidated wooden bridge to the east extends from the edge of this pillar to the top of an adjacent stone column. Let's just hope, as I mentioned at the end of the previous episode, You can see the columns. You can see the columns and the bridges on the map, and the columns are a light blue with a little icy sheen to it, and the bridges have a brown texture with black stripes. Anyway, I'm going east. You're crossing a dilapidated wooden bridge spanning the gap between two snow-packed pillars that rise out of an icy, raging sea far below. The bridge creaks, groans, and sways with your every step. Suddenly, as you step off the bridge, a loud groan fills the air as a violent shudder runs along the length of the wooden span. You turn and watch as the bridge crumbles into pieces. Its splintered remains plunging down into the churning waters at the foot of the column. And the gap between the columns is just slightly too big for Sir Croakington to spring across. So there's no going back. Alright, go east. It's another bridge. You're crossing a dilapidated wooden bridge spanning the gap between two snow-capped stone pillars that rise out of an icy, raging sea far below. The bridge creaks, groans, and sways with your every step. Go east. Alright. I'm just going to keep going east. I started out in the southwest corner of the map. Another bridge. East again. Can I go north? Yeah, I can go north from here. Alright, what's at the eastern end of the second row? Eastern corner. You're standing in a massive cavern atop a snow-capped column that rises out of an icy, raging sea far below. Dilapidated wooden bridges extend from the south and west of this pillar, edges of this pillar, to the tops of the adjacent columns. A black silhouette of a man stands near the edge of the column. Approach the figure of shadow. "Shouldn't be here," says the shadow of the man. "I know where you're headed, and believe me when I say that no good will come of it." It is with great sadness I watch you depart, knowing that you will never again pass this way, knowing you embark on an errand fit for a fool, knowing you already doomed yourself to die in the place where the shadows are deepest. The silhouetted man falls silent for a moment. When he next speaks, his voice seems familiar but distant. "Take my hand and banish my sorrow," he says. "You do remember me, don't you? You are the cause of my grief. You are the sadness that tears me asunder." The shadow extends its white hand. I guess I'll reach out the hand. Your hand passes through the shadow of the shadow, and as it vanishes, the silhouette momentarily darkens and then abruptly vanishes. Suddenly, a dense, churning column of blue vapour takes form just above the spot where the shadow stood. A silent roar erupts in your mind as the howling vortex expands to encompass the entirety of your icy perch, forcing you into a desperate struggle to survive its tempestuous fury, its deep sorrow, and I'm physically fighting it in a regular fight. Somehow. Because as I said before, none of this is actually happening, and it's not even really a metaphor. I'm just crazy. The churning tempest howls wildly as it assails you. Fortunately, this is a 3+ fight. Presumably, the amulet and the sigil I got earlier, the amulet I got at the start of the whole Whispered Madness thing, and the sigil I've got at the end of this are helping with making this easier. Probably. Maybe. I'm sort of well too deep into this to really test it. It howls wildly as it assails you. The churning tempest does that. And slain. I didn't take a single hit, which was nice. 5 XP. You stagger back several steps, struggling to catch your breath as the last vestiges of the gaseous vortex rapidly dissipate. A profound sense of joy washes over you as the silent roar building at the back of your mind is suddenly gone. That's probably a good thing. Alright, I'm just filling in all the places I haven't been yet. And suddenly, you're crossing a dilapidated wooden bridge spanning the gap between two snow-capped pillars. I'm going north to south between the first and the bottom and the one-up row. And second row, pillars that rise out of an icy raging sea far below. The bridge creaks, groans and sways with your every step suddenly. As you step off the bridge, a loud groan fills the air as a violent shudder runs along the length of the wooden span. You turn and watch as the bridge crumbles to pieces, its splintered remnants plunging down into the churning waters at the foot of the column. Okay. I was me trying to cross it for the second time and it's just not allowed. Okay. I'm going west along the second row. West as I can go, then going up. And bridge. This bridge is collapsing again. And it fell into the surf below. You're standing in a massive cavern atop a snow-capped column that rises out of an icy, raging sea far below. A dilapidated wooden bridge to the east extends from this edge of this pillar to the top of an adjacent stone column. The black silhouette of a woman stands near the edge of the column, approach the figure of shadow. "So, there you are," snarls the shadow woman. "It seems you might never make it this far. But your wretched sort has resiliency if nothing else. Even now the maze calls to you, does it not? Remember, it cannot separate itself from its creator. For he is the maze. Did you know that?" "I very much doubt you did." The silhouetted woman falls silent for a moment. Then she again speaks. Her voice seems familiar but distant. "Take my hand and crawl my way," she says. "Have you already forgotten me? Do you not recognize me? You instilled this anger in me that continues to burn." The shadow extends his white hand. Reach out for the shadow's hand. There's no particular reason not to. Your hand passes through the shadow, and as it does, the silhouette momentarily darkens and then abruptly vanishes. A silent roar erupts in your mind as the howling vortex expands to encompass the entirety of your icy perch, forcing you to desperate struggle to survive its tempest fury. Now, the thing is, it's very hard to hear the silent roar over the very noisy roar going on around me. Kind of difficult to hear a silent roar when you've got these noisy roars at the same time. But it's a very loud silent roar, so you can probably still hear it somehow. You know, being mad and everything. Shimmering rage. The churning tempest howls wildly as it assails you. It's another 3+, which is nice. It's nice having got this deep to, you know, have some 3+s I can just bash my way through without worry. Okay, a little bit of worry. I just took 5 damage, but I'll heal most of that. It is slain. 7 XP. Okay, I healed 2 after that. So I didn't heal most, but nearly half. You stagger back several steps, struggling to catch your breath as the last vestiges of the gaseous vortex rapidly dissipate. A profound sense of calm washes over you as the silent roar building at the back of your mind is suddenly gone. The back of your, it just ends there. It's another typo, but oh well. That's to be expected when you've got millions of words and you don't have a team. The bridge creaks, groans and sways with you every step. Suddenly, as you step off the bridge, a loud groan fills the air as a violent shudder wings along the length of the wooden span. You turn and watch as the bridge crumbles to pieces, its splintered elements plunging down into the churning waters at the foot of the column. Okay, let me just check. There's nothing special here. A dilapidated wooden bridge extends east. And now where I previously was, where I just met the shimmering rage, completely cut off now. Perhaps that's what should happen. We have a suddenly churning water bridge collapses. I think maybe some of them just collapse if you keep walking on them. Suddenly another one's collapsed. Yeah, that does seem to be the walls. If you walk on the bridges enough, they collapse. And okay, I think it's designed so it don't. You can't get yourself just trapped. It can only collapse when you're going to the further side, so you can't get trapped. But I wouldn't want to push my luck. All right, it's another suddenly. Step off the bridge. A loud groan fills the air as the violent shudder runs along the length of the wooden span. You turn and watch as the bridge crumbles to pieces. Its splintered elements plunging down into the churning waters at the foot of the column. Alright, keep going. I go north. I got as east as I could go on the third row. On to the fourth row. You're standing in a massive cavern atop a snow-capped column. Column that rises out of an icy, raging sea far below. Dilapidated wooden bridges extend from the south and west edges of this pillar to the top of adjacent columns. The black silhouette of a man stands near the edge of the column. Approach the figure of shadow. Ah, so you've come at last, cries the shadow of a man. It's my profound pleasure, of course, to greet you, but know that I also impart a warning, one you must not fail to heed. It brings me much joy to let you know that in the darkness you face, you will face a mirror through which all will be the same, only backwards. If anything looks unchanged in reflection, it must be happily destroyed. The silhouetted man falls silent for a moment, but he then speaks. His voice seems familiar but distant. Take my hand, and together we will try to remember this meeting, he says. You've already given me enough hope to rival even my joy. You don't know who I am, though, do you? The shadow extends its white hand. Oh, well, might as well. Reach out for the shadow's hand. Your hand. The hand passes through the shadow, and as it does, the silhouette momentarily darkens and abruptly vanishes. A silent roar erupts in your mind as the howling vortex expands to encompass the entirety of your icy perch, forcing you in a desperate struggle to survive its tempestuous fury. This is unfettered joy. I'm not sure I'm supposed to be fighting this, but I am, and there's no way to run away. Because that's actually a pretty rare thing, and also it's in my mind, so I can't really escape from it. Probably, whispered madness, no idea what's actually happening. The churning tempest howls wildly as it assails you. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Bashity bash, 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 bash. Oh, Quickstone has stored a 1. Well, it's stored a 20. That's nice, that will help in next fights. 8 XP. You stagger back several steps, struggling to catch your breath as the last vestiges of the gaseous vortex rapidly dissipate. A profound sense of sorrow washes over you, leaving you momentarily distraught, as the silent roar building in the back of your mind is suddenly gone. That seems to be a good thing. Okay, go west. Then go south for no reason. I'm not going to push my luck and go backtrack anymore. I'm onto the fourth column now, I think. Yeah, I think so. All right, we have a suddenly, and another bridge collapses. Collapses just like all the other bridges. All right, nothing on this bit. Go up a bit. Well, north. The black silhouette of a woman stands near the edge of the column. Approach the figure of shadow. Where have you been? Stammers the shadow of a woman. I'm not keen to linger here, so very near to the edge of darkness. Have you seen it? You heard it, no doubt. Yeah. The maze. You'll find your end in that place, because that's what's been left to fate. I've heard that at the very end, there's no longer any fear.
That must be nice.
The silhouetted woman falls silent for a moment. Then, when she speaks, her voice seems familiar but distant. Take my hand, that I might be granted the strength to forget my fears, she says. Do you recall the reason for my terror? You were there. I thought you might remember. The shadow extends its white hand. Reach out for the shadow's hand. You pass through the shadow, and as it does, the silhouette momentarily but darkens and then abruptly vanishes. A silent roar erupts in your mind as the howling vortex expands to encompass the entirety of the icy perch, forcing you into a desperate struggle to survive its tempestuous fury, its abject fear. And I can't be having that. I mean, I'm a great hero, and I mean, I can have a little bit of fear, so I can be courageous. Because, of course, if you don't feel any fear, you're not really being brave. You're just being reckless. You have to have a bit of fear to be brave. But not so much fear that it gets in the way. It's the key. You've got to have just the right amount of fear. Just the right amount. We do a whole lot of training so we feel the right amount of fear. And the right circumstances. And also, don't be afraid of things that, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of. Like people who ultimately don't mean you any harm. You know, they're just different. Like, they love other people, or they're slightly different colour, or they used to be a man but now they're a woman, or vice versa. Don't feel fear around those things. The churning they do a religion a little bit differently. You know, not in a blood sacrifice way. You probably should be afraid of people who do that. But, you know, they just a subtly different religion thing. Maybe they have more different God. Maybe it's the same God with a different name. Maybe it's just different, and you haven't really looked into it. The churning tempest howls wildly as it assails you. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I go into a battle rage, but I quickly calm down, probably because I'm quite frankly too exhausted to really stay angry for long. And slain. 10 XP. You stagger back several steps, struggling to catch your breath as the last vestiges of the gaseous vortex rapidly dissipate. A profound sense of confidence washes over you as the silent war building at the back of your mind is suddenly gone. Alright, now I'm making my way east. I think I'm on the 5th row. I mean, if I was paying attention, I would know. Alright, I'm getting close to the end, or at least the end of this bit. Alright, on to the top row now. You're standing in a massive cavern atop a snow-capped column that rises out of an icy, raging sea below. The entire time I've been going between icy columns and unstable wooden bridges. I'm now in the northeast corner. Dilapidated wooden bridges extend from the south and west edges of this pillar to the tops of adjacent columns. A tall, crude statue carved out of solid ice stands nearby. Examine the ice statue. This large, crudely hewn ice structure seems to depict a skull with the blade of a sword passing through it. Suddenly, the statue rapidly melts away, forming a crackling and hissing pool of bubbling black liquid. A massive figure of shadow begins to rise out of the writhing puddle. Okay, that might be bad. Who knows? Because, you know, whispered madness. You step back and assume a guarded stance as a shadowy figure rising out of the bubbling black pool suddenly assumes a terrifying physical form. Wound skin. His thick arms folded across his wound-marred chest. Steps clear of the puddle and fixes you with a cold glare. I beg your indulgence, for there is something you need to see. He grumbles, his eyes ablaze with the ancient fires of worlds, his unfathomable wrath long ago reduced to wrath. Our destinies are bound, as much by choice as they are by fate. I would severely admonish any who blithely adhere to the notion that fate alone spawns destiny. For me, freedom, despite its penchant for invoking the volatile, is what draws us towards the myriad of dooms that might ultimately serve as our end. The immortal ogre folds his arms and raises them above his head. When he lowers them just a few moments later, his hands grip a large, pulsing spear of shadow. There is one who strives to shape your destiny, snarls Woundskin, and in so doing, craft my doom. How mighty he must perceive himself to be. You may know him, but not as you will see him. Look into the spear and behold him in the grand absurdity of his vainglory.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Look into the shadow sphere. Well, I might as well. You step forward and peer into the pulsing sphere of shadow. Within the inky core of the orb, an image begins to take shape. I'm thinking Glenoris. He's definitely plotting against Woundskin. And he's definitely using me to do so. But it could be someone else. Definitely the Grey Mage is plotting against Woundskin. And presumably a lot of other stuff. Because the Grey Mage is spinning a ridiculous amount of plates. And if any of those plates stop spinning, it'll be a disaster. Which is, of course, why she has to, you know, have help and can't, you know, step in and do things herself. Because she's so very, very busy. Within the inky core of the orb, an orb begins to take shape. The visual, at first indistinct, slowly comes into focus, revealing a strange scene. The scene unfolding within the shadowy sphere depicts a young man in grey cloth attire struggling through a snowy landscape towards a distant flickering light. Suddenly, a small object slips from his white hand and disappears into the deepening snow at his feet. Okay, young man? Grey cloth attire? Who could this be? Clearly panicked, the young man drops to his knees and begins frantically searching for whatever has fallen into the snow, only to return to his feet. Several moments later, clutching to his chest something he's just retrieved. The scene instantly changes to the same young man, now clad in blue robes, using a stick to trace what appears to be a maze of passages in the snow-covered ground. He appears to be extremely agitated and hurls the stick towards a dark forest looming up on his left. Ah, this must be Ragnar. Again, the scene changes, and the same man, now older, is seated in a wooden chair, rubbing furiously at a glowing blue symbol emblazoned on the back of his left hand. He cries out in frustration as he rises from his chair and turns to face you, his desperate, pleading gaze serving to quicken your pulse. Woundskin snorts, and the scene at the core of the shadowy spear goes back. As you step back, leery of remaining in close proximity to the ogre, Woundskin draws his hands together, compressing the shadowy orb until it is no longer than an apple. No larger than an apple, it's also no longer than an apple. The immortal ogre tosses the pulsing spear over his left shoulder, and it immediately vanishes.
"You have seen," he says. "Now you must leave this place. There is danger in staying here too long. I will help you escape what you've created. But I'm afraid you'll find my means to be of a rather brutal sort."
Without warning, Woundskin fades from view, leaving you alone atop the snow-capped mountain. The blubbering plaque ball ceases its writhing and disappears. Oh, yes. I forgot about Ragnar. Because I just thought, that just because he's stuck in the bottom of the maze, that he's passive. But no, he's not. He's taking an active role in events. Just most of those active roles are somewhat constrained because the maze is not exactly following his original design. Which is sort of messing things up. Which meant he had to personally intervene those couple of times. Which is not so good. Anyway, time to go west to the northwest corner. I was in the northeast corner. You're crossing a dilapidated wooden bridge, spanning the gap between two snow-packed pillars. Yep, another bridge is collapsing. It collapses. You're in a massive cavern atop the snow-capped column that rises out of an icy, raging sea far below. A tall, young woman in dark robes suddenly appears, the edge of the top of the column, her gaunt face, bearing a kindly expression and her long, willowy frame, draped in tattered rags. A massive pair of winter robes step into view from behind her. Okay, it's the lady with the wolves that we met at the very start. I shouldn't be here, she says, her jaw trembling as she speaks. But I had to warn you, the war does not go away. The uncertainty never leaves you. There is no solace in its temporary absence, for you're left to dread its return. You asked the woman about the cavern, about Maldriff, about how you can find your way back to the world you know. Find your way back? She asks incredulously. You've never left it. But the veil around you is not reality. You are where you were, where you've always been. But enough of that. There remains only a shadow. Tear for its lairs, and you will be where you desire to be. Not even he can deny you such a ferocious want. He being Woundskin in this case, as hovering over the link reveals. Because he's underlined. You repeat your inquiry about Maldriff, only partially remembering what she has previously told you about his fate. You've completed my task, he says. Maldriff lives, if indeed such a simple existence is evidence of being alive. Behind the woman, a massive wall of shadows begins to take form. In bleakest winter, she says, placing her hands on the heads of her wolves. It's not folly to trust in the promise of spring's renewal. Though after all, tides against which even the truly mighty cannot hope to stand. An unsettling feeling passes over you as the woman and her two wolves suddenly vanish. Out of the centre of the wall of shadows taking form behind her steps the hulking figure of Woundskin, the immortal ogre, the scourge of countless worlds. Snorts derisively and fits you with a grim snare.
This madness isn't real,
he snarls. For your perception of it, for you, it's a kind of reality. You are near enough your end to sense it, for it cannot yet be seen. Fell me and rend the fabric of this place you've created, or perish in this foolish construct you've imagined. Woundskin draws his massive iron-hafted hammer, the weapon-spiked oaken head emits a dazzling golden light. The ogre, his blue wounds covering his menacing bulk, glowing brightly, stomps towards you, appearing to grow slightly larger with every step. As Woundskin approaches, you whisk a glance over the edge of the column to the raging, icy sea below. So I can hold my ground and engage Woundskin, or I can hurl myself off the top of the column. That kills me. Then that will kill me and end the adventure and lose all the progress I've just made. Although admittedly, it would mean I'll get to see slightly different options climbing the hill, but I'm kind of done with this. This is what the sixth episode of this adventure, so I don't wanna. If you do that, the second option, you die, you lose all your progress. I've done it once. It wasn't even on mic, but I did it once for the first time. Well, probably not the first time I get through. I probably died stupidly a few times on the way. But when I was going through it with my first character, I did it, and I thought, okay, yep, you die. It's not that interesting. I mean, if you really want to see it, you're just going to have to play the game all the way through to this point. Because I'm willing to go through a lot to weed out extra stuff, but I'm not willing to go through this all over again just for a section or two of extra dialogue. I mean, if that was a lot earlier in the adventure, I'll do it. But this far in, no. No, I'm not. Anyway, I'm fighting Woundskin. Woundskin is a demon, so I'm going to equip the Demon Scourge. That will probably help. Hold your ground and engage Woundskin. As he steps forward, his hammer raised. Woundskin stretches wide his jaws as if to unleash a fearsome bellow. But no sound emerges from his mouth. It is Woundskin. Well, it isn't, but it's close enough. Close enough to use the Demon Scourge. Begin combat. Tines of lightning erupt from your weapon. Woundskin swipes you with his fearsome hammer. Masterful Bash, 22 damage. 22x to MR. Keep bashing, bash, bash. He swipes with his fearsome hammer. Devastating Blow for 29 damage. Devastating Blow, 32. Use the Quickstone, 20. Do another 30 damage. Oh, what the heck. Wand of Dragon Fire. A deafening roar fills the air as a powerful breath of fire explodes from the tip of your iron wand. Your enemy is consumed by the ravaging flames, taking 160 points of damage. Then it counterattacks with the Devastating Blow for 22 damage. Now I'm at 54% and he's at 18%. I think I can handle it with regular bashing now. Bashity bash bash bash, down to 70%, 3%, and slain. Well, not slain because he's not really there, but slain enough. 12 XP, Woundskin. His wounds rapidly healing. Steps beyond the range of your attack and smiles. He lowers his hammer and his blazing eyes unexpectedly dim as his snarling countenance adopts an almost tender expression. "And it always was," he says, his cryptic words uttered by his gentle voice passing through you like a rumble of thunder. "And you always were, and this never was, but will be. You must know it for what it is." Suddenly, the immortal ogre's face twists into a hideous scowl, and he raises his massive hand. "What, is he going to fight me again? I'm up for it." With a grim snarl that slowly stretches into the savage bellow, Woundskin points the tip of the hammer at you, unleashing a deadly blast of golden energy that would outright slay a lesser deity. Well, bugger. The crackling energy surges through you, but leaves no mark and causes no damage. As Woundskin lowers his weapon, he grins. Before you can make a sense of what's just happened, your surroundings, including the hulking figure of the immortal ogre, swiftly melt away. You stagger forward, your surroundings still blurred, seemingly unable to find your balance on uneven ground passing beneath your feet. A flood of memories surge through your mind, most of them hazy images of poignant moments from the distant past, bound with faces that are once familiar and frightening. A firm hand plants itself on your right shoulder, halting your meandering momentum, and a soft, feminine voice slips into your left ear. "Easy, my friend," whispers the voice. "It's me. You're safe. You're back." Your surroundings abruptly come into focus, and you spin to face whoever has just whispered into your ear, only to have your wary eyes greeted by a lonely stretch of snow-swept forest road. Okay, this must be the mysterious rescuer back from the very, very beginning, who we never see. Several yards away, not far from where the smouldering remains of the coach are heaped, lies the body of Maldreth. As you hurry to make your way over to the fallen guard, he moans and begins to stir. Alright, he's fine. Yay! By the time he meets Waldriff, he's struggling to sit up, endeavouring to draw breath as he rapidly glances in both directions along the road. You're quick to note his left arm, which you'll last recall as bloodied and limp, inexplicably bears no sign of damage. I guess somebody healed it, probably the mysterious lady. Or maybe I did while I wasn't, you know, noticing. Because I can do that sometimes, apparently. Your attempt to help him to his feet is met with an angry howl of curses, for which he almost immediately begs your forgiveness. He eventually rises on his own accord, though he remains unsteady. The guard looks at you and seems to make a concerted effort to smile. For the better part of an hour, you and Mordwiff pick through the remnants of the wagon, tending as best as you can to the remains of those who perished in the fiery attack. Mordwiff, oblivious to the trials through which you passed while he was unconscious, takes only scant interest in the grim toll. He remarks that he had long been in the employ of the merchant whose life was brutally cut short in the ambush. His family will be right, even now that he's gone, he says. So it is when one knows wealth. These are hard times, and a man needs to look after his own before he worries about others. It sounds cold, I suppose, but that's how it is in this age. Last, having completed the grim task, the two of you set off along the road in the direction of Warfoot. On the outskirts of Warfoot, you and Mordwiff part ways, neither realising, though perhaps suspecting, that this will be the last time you ever meet. Mordwiff, his face expressionless, meets you in a shoulder cross. You wonder if it's all just senseless, he says. Life and death seem to come and go as they please, with no care given to who gets which of them. I'd rather not think about the age we're in and all what it's all coming to. The sages we trusted, we're all in for dark times, and I very much doubt we'll survive them. There's a chance we could, I suppose, but I won't wager on it. You bid Mordred farewell and watch as he slowly strolls into the village. He never looks back. When he's no longer in sight, you set off on your way. Slowly, over the weeks and months that follow the unnerving events in Grey Warren, you begin to put the unsettling episode behind you. Your restless nights, once plagued with frantic visions born out of the distorted, fragmented recollections of events both true and imagined, are supplanted by the woken return of deep, peaceful, dreamless slumber. It is during your quietest moments, however, when your mood returns reflective, that you're profoundly aware of its lurking presence. You're tempted to try and speak with it, to beguile from it even just a few shreds of the wisdom you imagine it conceals, but it only ever lingers long enough to sow subtle doubt before swiftly melting back into the demented obscurity your reason seems incapable of penetrating. As always, you struggle to quell the rising fear that will again bellow, rattling your psyche with the terrifying resonance of its silent roar. Years after the fiery ambush in Grey Warren, a destitute, disease-ridden man, his body having borne the brunt of a lifetime of sword work in the defence of one paymaster or another, still recalled a day that had an unfathomable impact on his life. Mordwiff, squinting to see out of his lone eye, moved to the window of his modest dwelling, stopping every few steps to catch his breath. He glances out across the weed-entangled space that was once a garden. His thoughts turn to the woman whose character and wisdom have served as a steadfast guide these many years. I guess it's me, maybe? Anyway, that is the end of this adventure. Somehow. I got 3,072 experience to general and 128 experience to all skills and powers. And no more adventures are unlocked by doing that. So, what will be the next thing? Well, we'll probably... I'll probably put more work into continuing the whole... The Tal Siloth thing. Meeting those spirits. And also I think I'll look around in those... We'll just see when we get there. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.